Hello and welcome to a very special bonus episode of the Punk News Podcast. I am your host, Punk News Editor, and so much more, M. Moore, and I am here with Haley, Melody, and Beau of Thought Crime. How's everyone doing today?
I'm melting.
Doing pretty all right over here.
Doing great. Absolutely awesome.
Awesome. All right. So we're going to try to not melt and keep everything going. So we will start this episode with Garden Court featuring Bagel Rabbit. And we'll be right back with the questions.
I never had a plan, never think before I go. Didn't think that I'd end up far away from home. But now it's crystal clear, I'm never satisfied. If I said I didn't miss a thing, that'd be a lie. The little things you think would always be with you. Getting coffee from the corner of the transit view. I don't mean to say that I regret my choice, but I miss my family. Yeah, I miss their voice. Back up my whole life, track for miles and miles. Get away from all the memories, I don't wanna hold on to. Try to be my own person, letting go of my past. I can keep moving forward, I don't need to come back. Cherishing everything that I had. Separate all the good from the bad. Cherishing everything that I had. Separate all the good from the bad. I didn't have to leave.
Connection Anxiety has more rave-inspired elements than on your previous albums. So, what inspired this direction?
I'm not sure anything necessarily inspired it per se. Me, Mel, and Haley were all working on a bunch of tracks. Like, our vaults have got hundreds of demos in, but we started to see that there was like a trend emerging where we were sort of putting songs together that had bits of various electronic and ravey genres. And we were like, what if we just did a full-on rave album? So it more just kind of fell into being than being planned.
Yeah, I feel like if anything, it just feels like the next logical conclusion of like where our sound has been going towards for the last couple of years anyway. Like even like I feel like I don't know. This is like a step forward from like where we were originally heading with Digital Drift. And I don't mean that in like in a way of disparaging the record. That's I mean more in like this is like it's more concentrated of a more concentrated output of those ideas we were trying to synthesize into like that record specifically. And I think it's executed in a way where it's like this is it's more of a like it literally just feels like it's like the next, like I don't know, this is like a Pokemon. And the first one was like our starter, and the second one was like our the second form or the second Evo, and now it's in its like third Evo, and it's like, you know, it's like this is where it was heading this whole time. That's how I kind of feel about it. Like this is our Venusaur or something, or Charizard or Blastoise or whatever. Yeah.
The most powerful one.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you feel your songwriting process has evolved from Digital Drift?
I mean, we actually used real guitars on this one. And I know that a lot of what Melody was writing for it started off on a guitar so that we could make sure that it was actually playable.
Yeah. I know. I think there was a lot more like, historically, it was a lot of me and Bo putting together these instrumentals and then like everybody else kind of just going over either like just learning the parts that we wrote or like just going over a little bit and touching things up. But in this case, it was a lot more collaborative between all four of us at the time. Like Haley came in and did, especially on Behind the Cracks, a lot of additional production stuff. And Dot like actually wrote all of the drums on this record.
At the end of the track Existent, which everyone hasn't heard yet, Haley basically did that entire second half of that song and really kind of put it together. So it really was like a much more collaborative approach than we've done in the past. And I think that that's a good thing because these songs are a lot more fun because there's so many more things being shoehorned into them. That they feel a lot bigger and a lot more sort of varied. And we like the variation.
Yeah, that makes sense too. It definitely comes through. Like there's a lot of different things happening. It's really exciting. It's a really good album, by the way. Like
Thank you.
congrats,
Thank you.
obviously. So did you notice a big difference recording with real guitars versus like digital guitars?
It like I think it made me feel like I was a bit more of an active participant in like the recording process than before. Because, before I would just like write MIDI parts and then like hand them off. And that was kind of the extent of my contributions. But in this case, I was actually like recording guitar takes and like actively, like doing some of my own recording, which, it makes it feels like it gives us a little more sense of like ownership over what you're doing, which is kind of cool.
And what was it like everyone working together with the production? Like, what was the production process like, and what did you learn about each other's styles?
In terms of sort of the production, it was similar to the last one, where I'd sort of get all the material in to me and then mix it, but I tried to give myself enough time this time around where I could work on a song for a while and then send it to everyone to get their thoughts and like really encourage everyone to give me a long list of notes to take into account. There's one where the drums went through like 12 different mixes just on the drums, just to make sure that like I got that accent correct or I really brought out this samba part. And then sort of we spent days trying to find the right bass tone, and we spent days trying to find the right guitar tone. And I'd send Haley a vocal mix back and say, "What do you think of this?" And she'd say, "You should do more of this." In terms of the stuff that Haley gave me, it's and sort of the differences of style, it is incredibly different to how I do things because I'm very like old school drum and bass and death metal, so everything is analog and kind of a bit too polished, whereas the sounds that Haley was using tend to be a lot more digital and aggressive and like in your face. And basically, if you're listening to the album and you think, "Wow, that synth sounds murderous," that was probably Haley.
No, yeah, it was really cool kind of like hearing a lot of my, it actually really, I think even with my own music, because I do music outside of Thought Crime too, hearing how Bo like cleaned up a lot of the sounds that I was like, the sounds that I do, because I make breakcore in quotes outside of everything. And so like hearing chopped up, like digitally like altered my break beats like layered on top of each other, but in like a very like the feeling like hearing the actual space between them has like even helped me with like understanding how to mix better and understanding how to like polish my own sound a lot better. So Bo definitely, like, she, you know, like overall, like really helped out with just like understanding, I guess, this, not the science, but like the technique, the practical technique behind it. And hearing Mel, like actually hearing her like play real guitar on the whole thing instead of it being MIDI, kind of made me like, as far as like more amped when I did my when I did a lot of like the vocal takes. Like it really helped me with like keeping the energy up. Not that it really didn't with like not that it didn't with the MIDI guitar, but I feel like there was like just a noticeable difference in for me personally when I went back and I did tracking all throughout December and January. 'Cause like it just, or was it January and February? I don't know. But tracking cut it really close for vocals. But yeah, no, it like it really like overall like helped with that process too. Like, yeah.
I think one of the fun things as well with sort of producing with live guitars is that MIDI guitars are predictable. They always react exactly the same way every time because that's how MIDI works. But when I was going through mixing on this record, there were breakdowns and riffs that just hit so much harder than the demos had. And I was like, what's going on there? And it's because Melody is a fantastic guitarist.
Absolutely. Like it's been awesome hearing her like play the parts that like it's just been hearing like it's been awesome like watching her grow as like a guitar player and like hearing those parts like actualized in real life. It's been so cool. Even with like the older stuff too, like on Digital Drift and on your computer, which the on your computer stuff is almost like inhuman levels of like good to MIDI guitar playing. So it's really been fun watching her grow as a guitar player and like, you know, like learn how to like build around those or work around them or play them outright, which has been super fucking cool. Pardon my language.
Swear as much as you want. It's
Okay.
all good.
It's more because I'm at work right now and I'm trying to be like, oh, I don't want to, like, if a student walks in, I don't want to be like, oh, oops, I just like swore in front of one of them. So, but yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, it sounds like there's more kind of live energy to it too, like the whole album.
Yeah. I mean, when we started off, the plan was basically to just have like the three of us doing DJ sets wherever we happened to be. But then after a while, we were like, why shouldn't we play this live as a band? Like, for all of the synths and the basses and crap, we can throw them into an Ableton session and we could get a drummer, which we did. And Melody could play guitar. And we were like, okay, we can do that. But we'd already started writing the second album by that point, so we were still kind of trying to work it out. Whereas this time around, we know what we are live and how we do it, so it makes it a lot easier to kind of write songs with the intention of playing them rather than just writing the most insane thing that we possibly can.
It's
No, go for
definitely
it.
made it easier to like get these songs together to perform. Like so far we've only been playing the singles live really, but we're going to be incorporating a lot more of the new material into our set when we go on tour in a couple weeks here.
You have a song you're looking forward to playing the most?
I'm trying to think of what we've got in the set other than the three singles. Do we
I think
have
B. Sorry, go on.
is my final escape in there? Because I'm kind
That,
of looking forward to that one.
yeah, that's going to be the set closer. I
That's
think
like,
that's going to get people really pumped.
yeah, I love that song. It's like the closest we've ever gotten to as a band to like I feel like I set my friends on fire slash like under oath like type stuff, and it makes me like that song specifically is, I don't know, it's so fun. It's so cool and the riffs are awesome. So I'm very excited to do that one live.
I'm looking forward to Beyond Journey's End, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
Because Haley said to me, can you write a song kind of like Hannah Diamond? So I did. And that ended up being The Wrong Way, which sounds nothing like Hannah Diamond. So I took all the Hannah Diamond stuff and turned it into like a Linkin Park song.
Yeah.
I think that one's gonna be a lot of fun to do live as well.
Absolutely. That one's so fun. It's gonna be nice to have. I feel like also this record too, especially with like Beyond the Journey's End, I feel like there's a lot more singing stuff on it, which is honestly great for me live, because that means at the end of the night I know that my vocal cords won't be like 100% shredded, which is super awesome. But I think, like, I don't know, not that I don't mind, like, I do obviously, I like doing the screaming stuff too, but it's like there's so many fun sing-along parts to like this whole record, and there's so many anthemic parts too that I feel like it really comes from a lot of, like, I feel like a lot of like Bo's pop sensibilities and like Bo's pop writing or production sensibilities, and then a little bit of like also like Melody's composition and stuff. And I feel like, I mean, it's awesome. It's so cool. I'm very excited about it.
Do you have a part that you're really hoping people sing along to?
I always love when people sing along to The Wrong Way. We've been playing that one live, and I love hearing people like get really pumped at like the end of the set, because they like, now people know it's like, it kind of like in the current set we've been doing, it kind of lives at the end. So I'll like hear people like, or I'll it's same thing with like Behind the Cracks too. I hear people see I see people sing like along to like There's Nothing Wrong with Me part, and I'm like, that's crazy. I never thought that that would be something that people would do, especially that song. Like, I don't know. It's very cool. Those two have been like very fun for me, just watching people like, yeah, especially The Wrong Way though. People get super hyped on the pre-chorus. They'll be like, I hear it in the crowd and I'm like, yeah, let's go. Party time.
Oh, for sure. Like just listening to it recorded, it's like, oh yeah, like that would just go like
Yep.
absolutely like off, you know?
Bonkers crazy.
People are like swinging from the chandeliers, jumping around.
I saw people like waving their hands and stuff the last time we did it. Like, I feel like I don't know. I just love seeing people have a good time. That's all I really care about at the end of the day, is I don't even care if like people are singing along. I just like to see people like moving and shaking and stuff. And that certainly has been happening with the new stuff for sure, and the old stuff obviously too. But it's
Yeah, there's more of kind of like a dancey vibe. So this album also features guest spots from Bottom Surgery and Bagel Rabbit. So how did you decide who to work with?
Well, we had a very long list of people that we were like interested in, but then for various reasons around the world and personally, we didn't have as much time to get that sorted as we wanted.
Yeah.
But then one day Melody said, "Hey, I've found this really cool violin player who streams on Twitch and has an interesting Twitter presence. We should ask her to be on a song." And we were like, yeah, we should do that, and then forgot for like 5 months. And then, like, whilst I was doing the final mix, I was like, we should ask her about it. So we sent her any message on Twitch and said, "Hey, do you still want to do thing?" And we managed to get the violin tracks back from Bagel Rabbit like the day I finished mixing, which
Oh,
was
wow.
a bit hairy, but I think it added enough to the song where we were like, okay, this was the correct decision to make.
And she actually reached out to us about potentially performing with us on the Denver date of our tour when we do that song. So hopefully that shakes out, because that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Bottom Surgery was really interesting as far as like getting her on the record, because it was kind of like around when everything was being like finalized and vocal tracks were like kind of like being put together, and she released an album Oh my God, it was crazy. I heard it and I was like, this is insane. Why does she only have like 200 listeners on Spotify? Like, it's like in her output, she puts out like a million records all in like with the span of like a couple months and like new projects all the time. And I was just like very I think it's criminal that this person has such a little such a little following, like outside of like a couple of people online. So I wanted to put more people onto her. And the record that I heard that was really cool, it was because Melody showed it to me, because I think James Blind Equation like po didn't wasn't it James who posted about it or something? Yeah, and I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, it was just kind of a spur of the moment thing where we asked her about it
Yeah.
because we like got to a point where we were like, actually, yeah, we were gonna we were kind of expecting not to have any features on this, but we got to a point where we were like, oh, actually, we've got some time. We could like try to throw something together.
Yep.
And so we decided to ask her, and she like got us final vocal takes like the next day. Like it was the quickest turnaround of
Wow.
any feature we'd ever worked with, which was is never something like we like expect or demand from people, but it's just was really cool.
Yeah, she did it like
And
overnight or something. Like, I can't even remember. Like, it was like literally, I woke up the next day and I was like, oh, that's done. Cool. Yeah.
that's amazing. Oh my
Yeah.
God.
And the song turned out really cool. Just overall, like, very cool person to work with. I'm glad we were able to get her on the record.
I have to head off because I'm still technically at work, but
Okay.
I hope the rest of the interview goes well. It was cool getting to talk for a little bit.
Thanks so much for being on. Yeah, it was nice to hear your input.
Yeah, absolutely. Rock on, you
Nina
know.
Basil.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Yeah. On A Better World Is Possible, you talk about like holding out hope that things can change for the better. So what helps you remain hopeful?
I think largely for me, just music, that I have a single hobby, and that is music. Everything that I do is sort of for music and in the direction of music. And if ever I'm having a crap day, I'll like go and listen to a Coheed album, or I'll listen to Electric Callboy or Pendulum and just stare at the ceiling. And it helps me feel better, because like the world is a fairly miserable place at the moment and for the last 2,000 years. But I think that something as beautiful as music existing and humans having that kind of built-in obsession with making it is a thing worth celebrating and sort of remembering that for as crap as the world is, humans are built intrinsically to create beautiful things.
I think for me, it's like the past couple of years, particularly like since Haley and I have started living together, and I've been spending more time up in Chicago. It's just been we've started to get together this like really incredible community of people, of like friends and fellow musicians and people outside the music scene too. Just like people who I just enjoy being around and who I know enjoy being around me and who we all kind of have each other's backs when we need it. And we all support each other. It's been a really good, nice thing for me. And that's like kind of what makes me hopeful. Like, no matter how bad things get, like you can always find people who are willing to look out for each other. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that's definitely like the one of the most like powerful like things we have in general, like just kind of at our disposal is being able to find them. Like what helps keep that like sense of community strong?
I think there's an amount of like mutual respect, which is the thing that seems to be unfortunately becoming a bit more difficult to find. But like when I was in America last and I met a bunch of Haley and Melody's friends as we went around and stuff, just the sheer number of people that are like completely willing to just give you a hand because you're a mate of a mate, and is sort of making sure that everyone has enough, even if it's a small community that doesn't have a lot to give. They're always willing to like give something, and that sort of that really helps with the whole feeling like you're welcome and feeling like you have a place.
Yeah, it's like this sort of mutual sense of like I've got your back if you've got mine, and it's not like a transactional sense of like, well, you did this thing for me, so now, or I did this thing for you, so now you owe me or whatever. It's just like you did this thing for me, and I would do the same thing if the positions were reversed, because you know that's what community means. Like Bo said, that mutual respect and that sense of like, you know, well, if the powers that be aren't going to be there to help us, then we'll just like pull each other up when we need it.
Yeah, exactly. Like we're the ones that look after ourselves, kind of thing.
Or we all sort of look after each other, like
Yeah.
nobody has to go through anything alone.
Yeah. Always someone there to talk or listen or whatever. With Beyond the Journey's End, you talk about like the feelings that are associated with change and how they can be scary, but also very like optimistic. What's helped you to like embrace that change and see it in that way?
Change is something that I in particular have always sort of found difficult. I'm somebody who definitely like gets like settled into routine, but just like, you know, seeing the positive results of change after like forcing myself to kind of go through it has been a lot really helpful in that regard. Like, you know, just like putting myself out there more. But music has helped with that a lot. Just like, you know, I like playing shows and doing that more and more, and also just like spending more time outside of my shell is something that I've started to like get more used to in the past couple of years, and it's been good.
I think like me and Melody are very much the kind of people where we don't tend to do anything new until we've like researched it into the ground. Like if there's an effect or a plug-in or a guitar or whatever that we want to buy, for example, we'll look at like 6 million reviews. We'll go to the nearest guitar shop and try it out for like 8 hours to really just make sure that we're not going to regret it. And I think sort of especially on the last tour we did, where lots of little things that we couldn't have predicted maybe went wrong or didn't happen the way they were supposed to. And I think for me, at the very least, that has helped me deal with change a lot better. Because I'm the kind of person that has a mental breakdown if the bus is a minute early. So, sort of being in that real life situation on the road and having to kind of play things by ear in a situation where if I don't, we're in trouble. Sometimes a little bit of like being pushed out of your comfort zone can be a good thing to me.
And I would say like Haley is kind of the opposite of us in that regard, where she is like much more comfortable doing things on impulse and kind of like being very what's the word? Not impulsive, like
Very spur of the moment.
yeah, very spur of the moment. And you know, just kind of being dragged along for those kind of experiences has been just by via proximity to her, you know, it helps like get used to that sort of more spontaneous sort of outlook, I guess.
Do you have like something that, or in like experience that helped you get out of your comfort zone?
I think for me, it was definitely the Richmond show on our last tour. Because, yeah, we set everything up and we did our sound check. And it sounded as good as three pallets in a single speaker can when you've got a stereo mix designed for clubs off a laptop. And we watched the other bands who were all great and they put on a hell of a performance. And then we step up on stage and Ableton decides that it's going to delete all the drivers for the audio interface we're using. So we decided to, and I quote, go full grindcore. And we just played like drums, guitar, vocals, me doing backing vocals, whilst I was trying to do tech support and work out why my laptop was dead. And I think that was very much a sort of trial by fire of you're going to learn how to deal with this now, or you're never going to.
Yeah,
But we,
exactly.
and like the sort of silver lining to that was one of the other bands had a little Zoom recorder that they used to record their own set, but they left it on through everyone else's set. And they messaged me afterwards saying, hey, I got a recording of your set when your laptop broke. Do you want it? And we were like, oh, we can release this as a like special edition bootleg. And that's where When the Laptop Breaks came from. So it's sort of at the time it was amazingly stressful and I really just wanted to sort of run away and curl up in the back of the van. But at the end of the day, putting up with that situation, sort of learning how to deal with that situation, ended up with a much cooler thing than we could have ever imagined. So it's the knowledge that the unknown can lead to really cool things that you might not have even thought of before is one of the fantastic ways of dealing with that for me.
For sure. And you have a really cool like live album out of it too, you know.
Yes.
And Mel, did you have anything you wanted to say with the question?
Just going off of that story, like something, Dot and I, we had this like little version of the band with some other friends of ours that we'd been doing. So we kind of reverted to something more approximating the set that we were doing with that group of people. But it was like we hadn't, it was not something we had rehearsed with the like four of us. So we were just, it
Sure.
was very much like, even though it was like something we kind of knew what we were doing is with, it was still very like flying by the seat of our pants, kind of. But it ended up being a really cool thing.
Embrace the chaos kind of thing.
Yeah,
Yes.
exactly.
There's always something cool on the other side, for the most part. On the Wrong Way, like it's all about like self-acceptance and like building self-worth. Do you have something that's helped you to do both of these things?
As like weaselly and corporate as it sounds, I think the band getting signed definitely sort of helped with me because I don't have an awful lot of self-esteem. And like, every 6 months or something, I have a 2 month window where I question what the point of doing music is and if I'm even any good at what I do. Someone like Prosthetic Records reaching out to us and saying, we really like what you do. Would you like to do more of it? We'll make all your CDs and crap for you. It was like, oh, like maybe I am decent at what I do. But on a sort of less that direction, I've been doing a lot of remix competitions recently, mostly out of boredom. And, I did one for Electric Callboy, which was huge because they're like the biggest commodity on the planet at the moment. And I won. And I've no
Congrats.
idea how. But yeah, they did a stream to announce the winners, and it was all in German, so I had no idea what they were saying. But, and my name didn't come up through like places 20 to 2, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, this is what I expected, kind of like reverting to that difficulty in perspective. But then they bring up a video of the singers of Electric Callboy and they're like, German, 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 Leboplastik. And I was like, what? had to be like, hey, my girlfriend who is German, can you translate this for me, please? And she said, well, it sounds like you've won and they want to give you a gift voucher for Toman and a £300 microphone. And then I had to go to sleep because I was like so overwhelmed. But like I say little things like that. When you're like deep in a job, you forget that not everyone does what you do. So, and that's possibly why I sort of have difficulty with the perspective about it. But when stuff like that happens, it reminds me that not everyone does what I do, and that there are people that think I'm good at what I do. And that is always a really sort of good boost of serotonin that makes me think, okay, I may have made the right decision.
I think for me, it's just like, hearing people tell us that like our music like really had a legitimate impact on them, like emotionally or something like that, like, or like helped change their life for the better in some way or something like that. Like, I think one of my favorite little things like that is that someone told Haley at one point that because of the song, our song Trust Fall off the last album, they were that was the thing that got them to transition. And like,
Oh, nice.
so just to like know that something we made could like help someone build up the confidence to like, take that leap of faith, as the song says, and like,
Yeah.
like deep, like go on this journey towards like being who they want to be is like kind of incredible. It's like, to I think to us, we just kind of feel like, oh, we're just like a group of friends making these silly songs. But it's really awesome that there are people out there who like really these songs mean something to them.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I think building on from that, when we were in Athens in Georgia, which is a fantastic venue, we played in a coffee shop and we were allowed free pour over coffee all night. I was so wired. But this one person came up to us and bought a record and seemed like so happy to have this record in their hands. And then very sort of sheepishly and shyly came over with their partner. And their partner was like jabbing him in the rib, saying, go on, go on. And they were like, excuse me, can you sign this for me, please? And it's the first time we've been asked to sign a thing. So I was like, you come with me. We go and make sure everyone has a pen. We will get that signed by everyone for you. And that was quite a magical moment that kind of reinforced that our music does have a place off the internet.
That's awesome too. Yeah, again, like there's such a like a community, around the band now.
Yeah, I mean,
Too.
a lot of people have said since we started that they weren't sure how our music would translate into the real world. And because it's a very online genre, and there's a lot of, I mean, like we were saying, especially on the
Yeah.
first album, a lot of completely unplayable riffs and parts. So of course, Mel and Dot could play them looking like it was effortless. But the fact that we and continue to get to go around and show people what we're doing and that we inspire people, like we've had people send us covers that they've done of our songs in different genres. And, we make all of our stems available to people so that they can do remixes. And we've been sent some really cool stuff. Like, we're in collaboration with a Discord server to do a sort of mini competition for Behind the Cracks. And some of the remixes people submitted and some of the stuff that people have been doing with our music has been amazing and like really heartwarming. That it's like Melody said, we're just a silly group of friends playing silly songs and, hoping people like them. But then someone will be like, hey, you inspired me to create art. And it's like, holy crap, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's beyond amazing. Like that feeling. So we will now play The Wrong Way by Thoughtcrime.
Just make sure you play it the right way.
Measuring myself against the current of my peers. Hiding behind a mask to cover up the pain. Am I pretty enough? Am I explaining too much? Something new. It feels regrettable to be forgettable. I can't waste my time chasing my own tail. I'd rather die a clown than hide myself. Make my voice small because I do things differently. I'd rather be a joke than fake it all to make you happy. Top.
So, kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but you'll be touring the West Coast for the first time, I believe, with Anita Velveeta starting in late August. So, and you'll also be playing Dilly Dally Fest in Philadelphia in November. So, what are you looking forward to the most about these shows and about being on the West Coast?
I'm really, you know, I've never been out to the West Coast before. So I'm really looking forward to that. But also there's like so many really awesome musicians that we're going to be playing with on these shows. People who I've known of or like been following for a long time, or are like longtime internet friends that we've never gotten to play with before. I think our San Francisco date in particular, we're playing with I'm Letting Unseen Forces Take the Wheel and Diana Starshine, both of whom are like internet friends of mine and Haley's, who I know Haley's met Diana in person, and I've met one of the members of Unseen Forces, but you know, I've never like met everybody from those groups and never like got to see them perform or like play a show with them. So that's going to be really cool. And then, you know, Dilly Dally, just the lineup that's been announced is just what's already been announced is already incredible. And like the rest of the lineup is like includes a lot of bands who I've admired for a really long time, who it's been like on my bucket list to get to perform with. So I'm not going to, I don't want to like name anything specific because I don't want to like forget which ones haven't been announced and like say something prematurely, but you know,
yeah,
just it's, there's so many amazing bands that are going to be performing, and it's kind of an honor to have been even considered to be on the same lineup as them.
I didn't really leave England until I was like 29. Like I went to Mallorca for a family holiday when I was 4, but I spent most of that asleep, and like Mallorca is just England in a slightly warmer place. So like the concept of traveling places is still pretty new and exciting to me. Like last time we went out, just the fact that I was in America and I was meeting my bandmates for the first time, and you know, I was seeing New York and I was seeing Memphis and all of this, it was really exciting. So like this time around, it's kind of just a continuation of that. Like I had a bucket list of places that I really wanted to see in America, and like Vegas and Seattle and Texas are all on that. So you know, getting to see new places that you know young me could only have dreamt of is super exciting. But I also hear that there is an awful lot of good food to be had on the West Coast. And I know that Seattle is famous for coffee, and I'm like a weird coffee person. Every time I go to have coffee with my mum, she accidentally triggers like an hour and a half lecture about why the coffee I'm drinking may be the best coffee I've ever had. So like, yeah, and I've got friends on the West Coast and in Texas as well. And, you know, without being in thought crime, really, I would have no chance in hell of ever actually getting to meet them. But because of the very fortunate opportunities that we've been afforded, I get to like see these people in meet space and give them hugs and stuff. So it's sort of everything. I'm like a puppy. Like when it comes to touring, I feel like there's two kinds of musicians. There are those that get in the van on day one and just can't wait to be home. And then there's people that they are all about touring. And I am so glad that I am the second kind of person. Like after the last one, we were sat outside the venue in Chicago and we all looked at each other and said, if we didn't have places to be and things to do, how much longer would we do this for? And everyone was like, I could do at least 2 more weeks. Like that sort of just being on the road with my friends and doing stupid shit around America whilst we're waiting to like get to venues is one of the most fun things in the world to me.
What like stupid shit like are you looking forward to kind of getting into?
So on the last one, basically the minute we got in the van, me and Coco Joey were talking about like production techniques, and I accidentally slipped up when saying master bus and said master bussy. So we spent 2 weeks coming up with jokes like, I like to compress the master bussy, or I like to soothe the master bussy. And you know, I spent that entire tour writing this ridiculous rap about like having beans on toast and stuff, and like Coco Joey being in New York and water in Philadelphia making my stomach hurt kind of stuff. So just like hijinks, basically, absolute rapscallionisms.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's fun about like get it being cooped up in a van with people for an extended amount of time is just like the in jokes, like the like running gags that end up taking over the whole tour that like would not make sense to anybody who was not stuck in a van with these people for an extended period of time.
Have any of the in jokes like made it into songs or anything? Or just kind of van?
I don't think any made it into like the songs themselves, but when we were like writing stuff and like before it has like a proper title, there'll be like kind of a goofy like file name, like working title, and stuff like that sometimes bleeds into those. I can't think of any specifics off the top of my head, but that's like something that's always been a thing.
We've got a channel in our Discord server that we use as an office called Song Titles. And whenever we think of something silly or a bit too profound or just a memory from tour, we just throw it in there. And it's not like serious song title suggestions per se, it's more just our prattling around channel to make everyone laugh.
You need that though. It's part of the brainstorming process.
Totally.
So, which part of connection anxiety are you the proudest of?
I guess I'll go first. I think just like I'm really proud of how the guitar playing turned out. Like I've only ever played in like punk bands before this, so like really like more technical music has always been kind of like outside of my comfort zone. So I do think like a lot of these songs are like not as demanding as stuff we've written in the past, but it's still like some of it's like a little more technical than what I've done in the past. So, I'm happy with the fact that I was able to like put all this together. And I'm really looking forward to playing these songs on tour too.
I think it's quite difficult for me to pick like a favorite bit because it's like my job within the band is to make the incredible stuff everyone else does sound as good as I can. I think the production is definitely a step up from Digital Drift. Like we definitely sort of had a much stronger idea of what we wanted it to sound like much earlier on than with other albums we've done. But I'm just sort of more proud of how Haley's singing has come along and how Melody's guitar playing has come along and, the fantastic job Dot did on the drums. As a producer, when you're working with really good musicians, it makes your job a lot easier, because you don't have to like spend as much time fixing things you or editing them. You can just polish them. That being said, the song Connection Anxiety, I love how that one builds. Because it starts with just like a, late noughties, early tens electro synth line. And then the drums come in doing like the disco beat with the bass. And then the guitars come in. And sort of that progression of the song structure is something that always makes me go, ooh. When those guitars come in, it feels like you're being punched and it's great.
Punched in the best way possible.
Yes. And I think as well, I find it difficult to like talk highly of myself, but the rapping on Existent, that started out as another song that I'd already made an age ago called Exist, but I never really shared it anywhere or put it anywhere. So I was like, this song needs some vocals. I know. Let's see if I can do this song that was written at 110 BPM at 185 in 16th notes. And then at the very end, I was like, but what if instead of 16th notes, we do 30 seconds? And the fact that I could actually pull that off without, fainting from oxygen deficiency is quite impressive in itself.
Yeah, like listening to that song's like, how are you breathing? What's going on? Like,
That's
how did you keep up?
definitely gonna be a fun challenge to do live. I'm gonna need
Yeah.
just like someone off stage with an oxygen tank for me.
And is there anything that I didn't ask that either of you would like to add?
mean, we got an album coming out. But yeah, I think you covered most of what I can think of.
Oh, I guess as far as the tour question, like I guess another thing I just thought of, thought to discuss, just like I'm also really excited to be going out with Anita, be going out on the road with Anita. Well, Haley played a show, a solo show up in Chicago that Anita was also on. And so I got a chance to see her live for the first time, and it just made me that much more excited to be performing with her because she has like such an incredible like presence as a vocalist and like such really awesome music. And also just a seems like a really cool person to be around and like you know, at the end of the day, that's what I'm the most excited about when it comes to like touring partners is like, are you somebody I'm going to want to like spend an extended period of time with? And for when it comes to her, it's like, I can't wait to be like hanging out every night.
That's going to be so much fun.
It's like going on tour is with another musician or band is basically saying, I want you to be my bunk mate for the duration of this trip. And we are going to be wearing each other's shoes and in each other's pockets. I need to know that you're cool. And so far, we seem to have picked some like really cool people to get to do that with.
Many more in the future as
Yes.
well. Well, all right. Thank you both so much for being here. And Connection Anxiety will be out on Prosthetic Records on August 16th. So we're gonna send you on it with Behind the Cracks.
Nothing wrong with